Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here as we recognize World FSHD Day here, as we span the globe, bringing all different points of view from researchers, patients, volunteer organizers, and so forth, all within our community, recognizing this day, June 20th. We span the globe to the Netherlands now. My first time speaking with Corey from there. She's a researcher, talking a little bit about her impact in the FSHD community. I'm going to let her introduce herself, though, as she does it so eloquently. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you to be on your show. My name is Corey Erasmus, and I'm a pediatric neurologist, and I'm involved in FSHD the last 10 years, I think. And I'm specialized in neuromuscular diseases.
And your particular point of FSHD is really focused on research, right? And within pediatrics.
Yeah. I know the phase is so important, and that's the problem in FSHD. And I think 90% of our communication is through the phase. Mm-hmm. So I feel an urge to care for the children, but also to cure. And at this moment, I'm hopeful something will happen for the kids.
Yeah. Do you think that there's been mostly a concentration more on adults with the disease? Yeah. And do you feel there's a shift starting to happen?
I sense a shift. Yeah. The last decades, I think the most publications were on adults. Mm-hmm. And it's now shifting, but the publication at this moment in children are mostly case series. So we have no data on natural history study, not on a treatment or the cause, the procrastination. And I think these data we need to inform clinical trials at this moment.
What do you then wish more people knew about FSHD? Because from my corner of the world here in the States, it's not really known. It feels like I'm constantly telling people what it's about, even my own doctors, what it's about. Like, I know more than they do. What do you think people need to know more, especially from the viewpoint of children and parents?
Now, in Holland, it is the third most congenital dystrophy. And I don't see a lot of children the last years, because parents think, oh, nothing to do, and why should I go to the hospital to see a doctor? Mm. But the kids are there, so we have to care for them. And I started a natural history study in 2015. And there are striking differences. So the children are a little bit weak in the face. They are looking a little bit scary for their peers. Mm-hmm. But they are in a lot of pain, and they have problems to walk in a Disney park or something like that. So they are very tired, and they are in a lot of pain, mostly in the back and in the legs and in the arms. So it's an almost an invisible handicap the children have.
Do you find then that most family or kids come to you? Obviously, they're coming to you to get some questions answered of what this is, but you feel like they're a little bit scared or a little confused of what's happening?
I'm not sure what you are asking, but
yeah. You know, kind of like, because FSHD as a disease, for me as an adult, trying to understand, what's happening is complicated.
It's complicated. Yeah.
So to explain that to a child, how difficult is that?
Yeah, that's difficult. My PhD student makes an fact sheet. Mm-hmm. And that's very lovely. And I show that to them. And when they laugh, or when the people cry or are scary, mm-hmm. the face is always the same. So yeah. The communication is very difficult in the children, but I show the pictures, the pictograms,
and that helps.
That helps a lot. Yeah. And not only for the child, but also at school and for their teacher and for their friends. So that's a good way to explain the problems in FSHD.
Within your research, you're doing a longitudinal natural history of children with FSHD. Is anybody else doing something like what you're doing, or is this pioneering in a way?
Yeah, it's a little bit pioneering. We started as an exploring study. The professor at the Radboud University said, "Oh, are there children with FSHD? And maybe you see a problem. There aren't mostly there aren't problems." So I started that study and to explore what is happening in the children. And there are age differences between the adults and the child with FSHD.
There are.
So the adults do not complain often about pain or difficulty to do a long walk, but that are problems with the in the children.
Mm. That's a big difference.
That's a big difference. Yeah.
What were some of the other significant findings in your research so far with the natural history of children's study that you're doing?
Now, the childhood FSHD is described as a severe disease with cognitive decline and with epilepsy and problems with hearing and seeing. But that's not a problem in my children, in my study.
Yeah.
So it's more a classical FSHD, but translated to the childhood. But it's not so severe disease as we always believed it was.
That's it's a little bit heartbreaking, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I think for me, that's where I wish the world knew a little bit more about it, because it's affecting kids, I think, more than people realize. Do you believe that there's more children globally being affected than we know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's like an iceberg. We only know the tip, but there are lots of children not coming to the hospital, not coming to the doctors.
Yeah. No. When it comes to, or even misdiagnosis, that's kind of where I wanted to go with the next question. Do you feel that a lot of children are being misdiagnosed with something else?
I think the pediatrician, when the child is not doing well, they go to a pediatrician, and I think they do not recognize the diagnosis of FSHD. So when the children go to the child neurologist, to me, I think it's 7 or 9 years later.
Wow.
So there's a delay in diagnosis.
With the research you're doing, getting this natural history, especially concentrating on children, what do you hope that research will then evolve to in helps for treatments and cures?
Yeah. It's a small study, a small Dutch study, but an important study. And I think it's important to join globally, to make a huge group of children participating in the study. So we have to join with the United States, but also with Australia. Mm-hmm. I have 20 children in my study. That's a very small sample size. So I think with the power from the United States and from Australia, it's going bigger and bigger and more children. We can follow it. More children, yeah.
Yeah, we can't leave them out of it, right? If we get a treatment of some type, or hopefully a cure, we want it to be accessible or kids to be able to use it. Do you feel like that's going to be a big hurdle if a treatment does come? Is that going to be a problem to have kids being able to, to
at this moment? Yeah, at this moment we are not so far to start and study, but the parents are very eager. So when there is a medication, I think they try. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. You get people get a little desperate. They want hope.
They want hope. Yeah, yeah. 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 And I think it's a very slow going disease. So I think we have to start early in life when the children are doing quite well.
Yeah.
And I think when we start with medication on time, they stay in good shape. Mm.
So at the IRC, do you have plans of doing anything at the IRC globally?
Yeah, I will present my study. Mm-hmm. And I meet my colleagues. My colleagues interested in FSHD in children. So we have a meeting there, and afterward we have a meeting again. And I try to plan and to join my colleagues globally. Excellent. And to do an ENMC workshop. That's do you know ENMC?
No, that's say that.
Now that's the European Neuromuscular Center. It's always a workshop is a consensus meeting. So I try to make a workshop on children to reach trial readiness. Mm.
That's exciting. I mean, to make it, you were talking about us, the world working more together, working mm-hmm. with IRC and those places that you're having the meetings with. That's definitely pushing in the right direction.
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the first step we have to make. Yeah.
What do you see then as the future or hope from your perspective? Do you think this is a disease that can have treatments at some point in the future, even for kids?
At some point, I think when I look at other diseases with other hereditary diseases and they start treatment, the picture, the phenotype, the symptom change. So I think that will be the same in FSHD, but I think that we can change that, and hopefully the kids go better the pain is less and the communication is better. But I think FSHD is not totally cured at this moment. Right. We have no genetic treatment at this moment in kids. No.
Right. Yeah. And when we talked about kids having FSHD several episodes back, we had some leadership of the FSHD Society that has been working with parents and kids, making sure they're not forgotten. So it's great that we had you on today to make sure that they're being represented. And I think the work you're doing is exactly doing that. It's representing the kids with the research you're doing, because I was always, I guess I was even guilty of not remembering that this affects young people. You know, I was diagnosed when I was 40. I could handle it better, but
that's true.
I can't imagine a kid having to deal with this. So it's very important that we had someone such as yourself on today to represent the kids. Last question. Are you looking for, more participants in your study? Is that a big struggle?
No, we decide at this moment it's a Dutch study. So the participants are Dutch speaking kids.
Gotcha.
But when we do a multi-center study, mm-hmm. I think we use as much children as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More data is better. Right.
More data is better. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doctor, for being here, taking the time on this World FSHD Day and representing the kids and all the great work you're doing, all the research that you got coming down the pipeline. And finally, one more question, because this just kind of popped in my head. So you're doing the research, and then do you have to, will there be like some, how do I want to phrase this? Like some researchers will do like a paper, or they'll, tell people what the research found. Is there like an end point within your research of the data that you've collected, and what does that equal?
Now we try, we have now, we have a baseline 2 years data, data, and soon the 5 years data will be published, and we want to plant, or we are keen to plan an 8 year follow up. So we follow the children from young age till adulthood. So I'm not finished at this moment now.
Yeah. Of course not. No, no. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you again, Doctor, for joining us, and you take care, and hopefully we'll have you on another episode and talk a little more deeper into it, but I'd appreciate your time today.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.